Joernalis, nuusanker, carte blanche aanbieder en nou draaiboekskrywer en regisseur van 'n splinternuwe film wat by die Silverskermfees sy debuut gaan hê aan die einde van Augustus. Lorenza Eckhart, welkom by The Drive with Robin Ross.
Baie dankie julle.
It's such a pleasure to have you here. Congratulations. Like it's like a baby being introduced to the world.
Well, it's great to be here. I mean, I drive past your studios, feels like every day, and to be inside the big purple machine, it's amazing.
Tell me about Mari se laaste dag.
Yeah, so Rob. It's so interesting you say that because the pronunciation of our lead character's name is a bit of a plot twist.
Or yeah.
It forms part of the film. Marie se laaste dag is 'n kort film. Dit is 'n komedie. Ek hoop mense lag. Ek dink die finale produk is nogal heel snaaks. Dit speel af in 1994. So, I mean, it's 30 years ago. That makes it a period piece, which is funny to think about.
The first government of national unity.
Exactly. And obviously the dawn of democracy. So the symbolism is fantastic. I mean, we are celebrating 30 years of democracy this year. We have a new government of national unity, a very different situation today than 1994. But I think for us in making this film, it was all about sort of going back to some of the difficult conversations and discussions that we perhaps should have had back then that we didn't and we can now. Looking back and I think using comedy is a good way of doing that.
First, most important question I have for you. Why would you cast Roseanne McKenzie in a film?
Listen, this woman is such a force. Dit was ongelooflik om met Roseanne in hierdie konteks te werk. Ek sal so lank 'n aanhanger van haar. Ek beskou haar as 'n mentor vir my in die bedryf. En om haar in hierdie rol te sien was vir my 'n absolute voorreg. Ek hoop en I really hope you get to do more of this, Roseanne. People should see you on screen, op die silverdoek. Sy is gemaak vir die skerm. Ek weet die luisteraars hoor haar pragtige fluweelstem elke dag, maar sy pop op skerm en ja, ek hoop jy kan jou lyf nog baie aktrise hou.
I'm excited about this because I've only ever seen presenting factual Roz. I've never seen acting put on character Roz. Was it fun, dude?
It was so much fun. Lorenza and her producer Bennett approached me at the end of last year and said they're making a film. Would I be keen to be in it? So I thought, okay, maybe they're going to make me audition or whatever.
Then we had person in back of cafe exactly. Eating sandwich too.
Exactly.
Nondescript.
That extra that just can't stop looking at the camera, that one. So they asked me to be part of the, if I wanted to be part of the film, they said they'd send the script. And I didn't even need to read the script. I knew I wanted it. And I didn't know they hadn't auditioned anyone, that they just asked me, which is pretty cool. I was like,
it is pretty cool.
First time this has happened to me for an acting role. And going into it, I just knew, even though it was Lorenza's first time as a director, I knew I was in safe hands and I knew the character and the story were going to be in great hands. I haven't seen the film yet, so I'm just waiting for the premiere at the Silverskermfees. Maar dit was 'n absolute fees om op die stel te kon wees. Dit was so snaaks, ons het so gelag, and I think the comedy really adds to the fact that you can say kind of things that might not be so acceptable, maar omdat dit snaaks is, en omdat dit nou 30 jaar terug is, het ons so 'n bietjie leeway gehad om te speel, en dit was wonderlik.
You come from a very, like, serious background, Lorenzo. You're a journalist, you're a news anchor, all these kind of things. When did you know that you had a story inside that needed to get out and that it needed to be funny?
Well, I love comedy. And I think in most newsrooms, you'll find that laughing about things sometimes is the only way you cope with the trauma of reporting on what goes wrong in this country every day. Journalists have some of the best senses of humor that you could find. So hierdie tydperk in ons land se geskiedenis fascineer my nog altyd. Ek dink dit is miskien ook omdat dit my vormingsjare was toe ons oorgegaan het na demokrasie. Mense het net 12 'n verstand begin kry. En polities, jy weet, ek is 'n politieke verslaggewer. Dis my liefde, dis my passie. So om politiek, komedie, humor by mekaar te bring, dit is wat ek graag wou doen en ook net belangrik in terme van die storie. So Marie se laaste dag is oor 12 dae, eerste dag wat kan ons mens nou maar sê die nasionale party en die ANC in 'n kabinet saam moes wees en 'n kantoor deel. En jy weet die vonke spat, want dit is 'n botsing van kulture, 'n botsing van wêreldbeskouings. Wat ek dink ons moet sou blootstel en weer eens humor en komedie gebruik om dit te doen. En ons baie sterk karakters, wat was vir my belangrik om dit snaaks te doen, want ons kan baie keer teruggaan na ons landse geskiedenis en ons moed en dit is baie ernstig en ons het baie geskryf en gesê daaroor, maar ek dink is ook nodig dat ons 'n bietjie daaroor kan lag en vir onsself kan lag. Ek dink dis die belangrikste ding.
Ja, yeah, I mean the history of South Africa is as a history, a sad and serious topic. Yeah. And yet the people of South Africa are funny as hell.
We are.
Lorenza, what was it like for you going from being in front of the cameras as an anchor, you're on Carte Blanche as a presenter, and now you're going behind the camera for the first time as a female director who's also the co-writer on this piece? What were some of the like highlights, I guess, of that experience?
I think that for me it was initially very intimidating and it was quite surprising when we found out that our little film or story made it to the final round and we were now going to have the opportunity to get to make it into a film. But it was just fantastic for me to work with this amazingly talented team, from our cinematographer to our fantastic cast, our producer, makeup, wardrobe, all of those things that sort of in my everyday serious life I don't really get exposed to. So I mean there are no deadlines. It's just sort of coming together as a team of talented people and being creative, and I loved that, and the energy that everyone brought to set every day, it was just infectious. So I just felt sort of like a spectator, really. It was a great, it was just fantastic for me to have the opportunity to sit there and witness these people in action in their natural habitat and make magic.
How much background did you have in writing and screenwriting and so on? Or were you literally sitting one night typing into YouTube how to write a sitcom?
Kind of. none. I had no previous experience in writing something like this. And I had a fantastic co-writer in Mercy Kannemeyer who did more of the nitty-gritty stuff, and she sort of knew when to put in the beats and the arc and all of that, and just the technicality of putting this idea that I had onto paper. So I think we made a good team, and it's hard work. I think I'm a little bit too lazy to do this.
I was going to say, it must be one of those things. if you're working with someone like that who knows how to add all those things in, sort of seeing what you don't know being put in front of you must be a really eye-opening experience.
It's so strange. I mean, you'd hear actors and you know, people in this industry referring to sort of like when I saw the script for the first time or when I read the script. Now, I've never read a script. I mean,
also me.
We've all seen movies. And even now, like I'll sort of go to some of the sort of historical famous movies and I look at the words on the page, and it's sort of insane to think that someone had a vision of how this will all come together on screen. So for me, it was kind of the reverse. I knew what I wanted to see on screen. Someone else just needed to put it onto paper.
Yeah, I think also everybody on the team brought their A game, because we were a little afraid that Carte Blanche Lorenza would come to set and kind of kick the door down and be like, nee, wat gaan hier aan?
Nee, ek was nie kwaai nie, was ek?
Nee, jy was nie. En dit was rarig a baie collaborative ervaring. Dit was ongelooflik om het te skiet. And there was so much... I'm obviously coming at this now from having been involved with the film, but there was so much attention paid to the detail of that time, from the clothes that we wear, the costumes, to the location that we shot at. It literally felt, for those days that we were on set, that we were in 1994. So it was just so much easier to get into that headspace.
So you're saying you were in a Home Affairs office somewhere?
We can't disclose that.
We can't say which department. But anyway.
Listen, tell me about the Kijknet Silverskerm Fees. I mean, I know it's a thing, but like, talk me through how important it is in South Africa, how big it is, how it feels getting into it.
Yeah, so it's a basically a yearly showcase of film and now also television talent and the products that are being created. And I think it's been sort of many sort of young and up-and-coming filmmakers get the opportunity to take part in this. And I think it's fantastic that Kijknet, I mean, they take, it's very risky at the end of the day for them to give these young filmmakers a budget and the green light to go ahead and make this movie. I mean, they just trust that you are going to do everything right and you're going to spend every penny as it should. And we were very fortunate, as Roseanne said, with a producer like Van Etier to make sure that that was all taken care of. Because, I mean, I should never be let anywhere near a budget or an Excel spreadsheet ever in my life. But that's such an important part, and that's how you learn as well, because the technical aspect of making films and television programs, it's very important, it's crucial, and that's what the Silver Skerm Festival is all about, nurturing young talent, recognizing it and supporting it.
Wat was vir jou die hoogtepunt van jou ervaring op stel?
Vir my was dit net, soos ek gesê het, vir my was die hoogtepunt om die akteurs in aksie te sien. Jy weet, ek is bietjie daan gewoond om voor die skerm te wees, maar in 'n ernstige hoedanigheid, maar soms weet jy wat jy voorheen gaan sê as jy daai, soos ons in Engels sê, die piece to camera of jou link doen. Maar om te sien hoe die akteurs stel toe kom en die woorde nie net ken nie, maar elke keer as jylle toneel gespeel het, het dit nie vir my een keer gevoel jylle dink aan wat jylle sê nie. Maar dit was nog steeds so perfek volgens die draaiboek. En dit was my ongelooflik om te sien hoe jylle dit jylle eie maak. Want ek sal het soms so oordink, hoe moet ek hierdie twee sinnetjies wat ek nou maar moet sê, in a carte blanche insetsel of so, hoe moet ek dit sê en mens oordink dat jylle het nie. Dit was my ongelooflik om kunstenaars soos jylle in aksie in daai context te sien.
While we're on that subject, let's pivot it there and let me ask you. Carte blanche. There are very few institutions in South Africa that resonate as hard as those two words. When your phone rings and on the other end someone says to you, "Hey Lorenzo, as jy besig volgende week, wil jy nie iets kom doen by carte blanche nie?" Like, it must be such a moment in your life.
No, it was, absolutely. I mean, I grew up watching this program, and as you say, Rob, it is an institution, and it is one of the most, I mean, it's probably the biggest reason that I wanted to become a journalist, because as we say, you know, truth brings change, and that's what journalism is at the end of the day. And I don't think that anything does it as well as carte blanche in South Africa. And so when I was approached to become part of the team, it still feels unreal. Every time the team phones me and asks whether I'm available for a shoot, I still think, is this real? Is this like carte blanche?
Have you got the right person?
Am I going to do a carte blanche piece? And it was, I mean, I was terrified throughout my first shoot that I did for them, because it's not only, you know, the weight of this institution, but also knowing what went before and just feeling that pressure and responsibility of ensuring that you sort of contribute to keeping it on that standard. And ja, so dit was vir my, en dit is nog steeds uiters intimiderend, maar 'n reuse voorreg, en ek leer so baie elke dag, elke keer wanneer ek enigiets met carte blanche te doen het. En ek dink Suid-Afrika, ons is baie bevoorreg om so 'n program te hê, en ons is dankbaar vir die ondersteuning wat die program nog kry net.
Daar is seker ook vir jou baie inhoud wat jy kan gebruik vir jou volgende draaiboek elke keer wat jy 'n carte blanche storie skiet.
Nee, beslis. En dis is Rob ook vroeër gesê het, daar is soveel hartseer en trauma in hierdie land wat elke en meeste Suid-Afrikaner al te doen mee gehad het en gekonfronteer is mee. Maar steeds sien ons dat Suid-Afrikaners kan lag vir dit en die humor daarin vind. Maar ek dink dit is ook hoe ons onsself en mekaar probeer genees. Want as ons nie oor iets lag nie, dan gaan ons die hele tyd huil. En dit is ook nodig. Jy weet, nie dat ek sê ons enigszins moet dit lig maak nie. Maar net besef aan die einde van die dag, ons is allemaal saam in hierdie ding. En meeste Suid-Afrikaners wil hê die land moet werk en moet vorentoe gaan. So kom ons vat hande en lag 'n bietjie wanneer ons kan en huil en vee mekaar se trane af wanneer ons dit ook moet doen.
When people meet you at the braai and they find out that you do carte blanche things, and they say, what's the craziest thing that's happened while you were doing carte blanche?
Well, I mean, I actually can't repeat the story on air. I'll tell you guys afterwards. but I think the craziest thing that's happened, I've only been with them for a year now, and I've heard some you know, crazy stories.
Because I imagine the stories from the trenches inside that place, from the behind the scenes,
yes,
must be quite ridiculous.
I mean, I guess one thing that I would say was one of the craziest things that I experienced was we did a story about the illegal mining epidemic in Johannesburg, the Zama Zamas. And the producer told me about this place where they have food prepared for them. And he tried to prepare me for what I was going to see, but nothing could prepare me for this apocalyptic scene of, you know, animals just being slaughtered right there and being cooked over fires that, I mean, they stoke the fires with tires. So you've got this black smoke and the meat gets this smoky black color, and then they wash it off and sell it. But I mean, the whole process and seeing that. So, I mean, I've come very close to being sick on camera, which I don't think would have made it to the final cut.
I'm sure they would have used it.
Yeah.
Wow. You got some other really cool stories about your years as a journalist. You got stuck in Malawi.
Yes. I was just reminded of this the other day. We traveled to Malawi a few years ago. I think it must be more than 10 years ago now, when they had very serious flooding in the country with team from Rescue SA. And so the team, I mean, they split us up. One part went on these, it was sort of like an army vehicle, hulle noem dit in Afrikaans 'n samel. So nou is ons agter op hierdie voertuig, dis 'n reuse voertuig, ons is besig om vir gemeenskap komberse en kos en so te neem. Maar ons neem aan ons gaan die aand weer terug wees, want ons veronderstel met so 3-4 ure se ry te wees. En ek weet nie wat die bestuurder van die voertuig gedink het nie, maar ek dink hy wou ons daar deur 'n rivier omtrent kry en ons het toe vasgeval en moes toe net daar slaap. En ek nie klere nie, ons het nie eintlik kos nie, daar's 'n bietjie water. Nou raak jy aan die slaap en jy hoor in die middel van die nag is nou stik donker, hoor jy sulke klein stemmetjies. En toe het van die kinders en die mense in die gemeenskap uitgekom om te kyk wat is hierdie voertuig wat nou hier in die modder vassit, en jy hoor hoe hulle weet vir mekaar vra wie is hierdie mense, hulle kyk so vir jou. En ja, so dit was nogals aardig. Ek sal dit altyd onthou, maar baie vriendelik. Ons het nie enigszins onveilig of so gevoel nie, maar ja, dit is maar van die interessante stories wat mens...
Ja,
completely stuck in the middle
you
of nowhere.
You live to tell the tale.
We did.
Lorenza, if you could choose to live in any era of South Africa, why would it be Orkney Snorkney?
Now, I always joke. Someone said the other day that in American television history, there was a time where Curb Your Enthusiasm was on and straight after it was The Sopranos. Or the andersom. En iemand het gesê, dis die beste uur en half of 2 ure van TV ooit in die geskiedenis van die land. Now, my show in gesprek is at 8:30 and straight after Orkney Snorkney reruns are aired. So I always say, well, that's the best hour and a half of television you'll get on South African screens. Maar nee, dit is, ek is mal oor Orkney Snorkney. Weerens, ek dink het was in my vormingsjare gewees. En ek dink, jy weet, as ons kyk na van die themas ook wat in hierdie program aangespreek is, hulle was ook eintlik baanbrekers en het nie geskroom om moeilike onderwerpe juis ook met komedie aan te pak nie. En ek dink, daar's te min daarvan, want ek ons is maar bietjie meer versigtig deesdae. You don't want to say the wrong thing and get cancelled. It's a valid fear. I think sometimes we are too careful. But I think that's why shows like those still resonate. En ook as 'n mens kyk, iets soos Friends is nog steeds van die mees gekykte reekse op Netflix. People watch the older stuff because they did push the envelope. They weren't afraid to go into the messy grey areas. And,
yeah,
you know,
it feels comfortable.
Yeah, absolutely. There's a comfort to that.
What's your favorite line that you can quote?
Ooh, oopsie whoopsie, sir. I think it's actually from the movie where they go to Mauritius and Yoli is hysterical. And I think Obut wanted to, I mean, he went on one of his adventures and she comes running. So did, hy kon waterski nie reg kry nie en nou wil hy gaan paragliding doen. And then the camera just goes like this. Man being dragged through the air and his pants fall down and you just see Yoli all hysterical. But yeah.
Listen, thank you so much for your time. All the best for Marie Salasterdag.
Thanks, Rob. Yeah.
It is at the Silver Scadum Fierce. It is in a couple of weeks' time. All of the short films, all the mini-docs will be airing on Mnet, on DSTV Channel 144 on Kijknet between the 7th of September and the 5th of October. You can go and check where you can watch all of them. We can watch Roseanne McKenzie's short film appearance as well. How much screen time have you got?
A lot.
You must ask the director. I don't know. I haven't seen it.
She's a scene stealer. That's excellent. All I'm going to say.
Well, scene stealer. Rosie, Lorenza Eckhart, bye dankie ons waardeer vir jou.
Bye dankie julle. Thank you so much.